There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits. This is your Monday, August 7th edition. Hope everybody had a good weekend and is ready for another week. We have 7 games, and it is just horrible pitching. So either tread lightly or be ready to be disappointed, potentially. That's all I can say about it. But the weekend action was a lot of fun. Good stuff. Lots of offense, as we should become to be expecting these days. But let's get into your Monday action here. Weather-wise, hopefully we dodge a bullet with 7 games. We don't want a lot of weather in Washington. It rained all Sunday night, off and on. It's raining off and on during the day, but it's supposed to clear up around game time, at least maybe a late start. Should be okay. Hopefully that means the best pitcher on the slate still takes the mound and his neck's okay. The humidity is in the upper 90s, so it is phenomenal hitting conditions, and the Nationals offense is facing an absolute gas can. Just to put things lightly on the slate, we have, out of the 14 starting pitchers, 6 of them are on the bottom 25 in barrel FIP the last 30 days. There's only one in the top 25. It's that bad. As we go through some more weather, we are looking pretty darn good. Yeah, everything else, knock on wood, is good. Washington is the one to watch for. If it plays, it'll be super humid, which makes things very, very nice for the hitters. Let's check out the totals on the day. Tigers, Pirates, 9. Marlins, Nationals, we're waiting for because of the Marlins pitcher, O'Grady. Padres, Reds, we need a new total on that one as well because Adelman will be pitching for Robert Stevenson. So keep that in mind. Brewers, Twins, total of 9. Cardinals, Royals, total of 9. Orioles, Angels, total of 9. And then Cubs, Gigantes, by the Bay, total of 8. So yes, as usual, more offense with crappy pitching involved. Let's get at it. Your top pitcher on the slate, hoping his neck's right, but I'm pretty sure they wouldn't even be risking throwing him if his neck wasn't right. We are talking Mad Max Scherzer, who has been everything but amazing. Actually, he has been amazing, so there's no but involved. Mad Max is just really, really good. It comes down to, is his neck okay? The Marlins strike out 20.5% of the time. Max, 9th best on the barrel. 5th the last 30 days, striking out over 36% of the batters he's facing. I'm not going to go deep into this one. When it comes to this situation, Mad Max is far and away the highest priced option and the best option. Lefty's 315, righty's 193 off Mad Max. Might give up a homer or two as usual. Strikeouts are very, very possible to rack up in bunches. It's a slate with just horrific pitching. He's by far the most expensive option, and I think you're going to want to use him unless you land on the 2 random guys that throw great down below together. Like, have them both in your lineup. Otherwise, it's going to be destructive. Your other guy over 10K is Jake Arrieta, 11-6 at the Giants. Arrieta is that guy that you're just like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Well, his last 4 starts, 18-8, 18-5, 22-6, 26-2. Last start out, he was 10-3 the first time over 10K in quite some time. His strikeouts have been up. His fastball's better. Swinging strikes better of late. He's looking really good. 8-5-6 are his strikeouts in his last three games. Does give up a homer from time to time. But his ERA is all the way down to 3.88 for those that remember how bad he started out the year. The thing is, the Giants don't strike out a ton. They strike out around 19% of the time, one of the lowest in all of baseball, especially against right-handed pitching. We know they're really, really bad at hitting. That's Captain Obvious. 3.59 total is currently the lowest on the slate until the Mad Max Marlins team total comes out. But lefty's 300, righty's only 258 off Arrieta. Giants have an atrocious 293 wOBA versus righties. Arrieta has a really good ground ball rate of 46.3, the K rate of 23.2. Very low hard contact. He's a very good arm. I feel like people are either going to pay up for Max or pay down for like Irvin Santana. It's just, can Arrieta get enough strikeouts to make his price tag of 11.6 worth it? The only way I can justify if he doesn't, if he can at least get me 20-plus on a slate where pitching's going to be that bad, he might still be worth the price tag. But he has to get that, preferably 25-plus. He's going to have to go deep into the game against the Giants. It's very possible. They have a lot of young bats out there. Heck, they had Pablo Sandoval batting cleanup over the weekend. So things aren't good by the Bay, but you never know what you're going to get. A lot of lefties in the lineup for one, because Parker's back up in the outfield. Like I said, Panda. You got Panda, Parker, Crawford, Panic. That's four. Span five. So you're going to have at least five out there. At least. Because Belt's on the DL right now. Posey catching. So you have at least five. But it's a good spot. No doubt about it. It's just, can he match the price tag is the question. That's the question you have to ask yourself. I'm gonna sprinkle him just because I know how bad the Giants can be, even though they have those games where, like yesterday, they scored six runs. They have a couple games a week where they actually hit the baseball. Is Monday night the night? Who knows? But I think it's worth an interesting gamble considering he's $1,200 cheaper than Max, and people might gravitate towards Max or go down below, so ownership could be very nice on that matchup. So obviously up top, it goes, or we'll go one more guy. Irvin Santana at 9,500 at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. He has not faced the Brew Crew this year. He's been better on the road than at home, which is very interesting. Coming off a complete game two earned 9K performance from 37.8 against San Diego. 9Ks and 7Ks in his last two, which is very interesting for Irvin, as many don't associate him as a strikeout guy. He's not like an overpowering strikeout guy. But when you're facing the Brewers that strike out 25.4% of the time, you strike out about 19%, but a swinging strike rate of 10% is no joke, especially against a team that swings and misses a lot. That's a big thing, where a guy with a 19% K rate all of a sudden ends the game striking out 23 or 24%. The Brewers can help you with this. Very low hard contact at 29%. By no means is this a great matchup, because we always say it, the Brewers can crush the baseball. But you're in Minnesota, a much nicer pitching ballpark than you would be in Milwaukee. Lefties hit 282, righties 303. A lot of the thump you're worried about with the Brewers are left-handed, at least Thames and Shaw. You do have Braun, Domingo Santana, maybe Aguilar gets a spot with the DH. They're all things to consider, but at $9,200, again, if you don't want to pay up for Max or Arrieta, Santana does make an intriguing play. Should be popular tonight. I rarely ever get him correct, but on a night like tonight, I'm going to have to try because there's no other options. I really think you need one of these top three guys. You can put him with a bargain basement pitcher if you want, but I think you're going to need one of these top three. I really, really do. So Santana at 95 is in play. I'm ranking it Scherzer, Santana, Arrieta on the top for me. As we drop down, there's only two guys in this mid-range I'm looking at. They're facing off against each other, and the total in the game is 9. I'm looking at Dylan Bundy and J.C. Ramirez. J.C. Ramirez is 7,500. He is 14th worst on the barrel FIP the last 30 days. He's getting barreled only 3.73% of the time. He's just walking almost 13%, striking out about 15. So walks are killing him right now. On the season, he's striking out about 18.2%. The Orioles strike out 22% of the time. He's got a good ground ball rate, but does give up the long ball, and the Orioles' bats are on fire. They do have the fourth lowest total on the slate of 4.37. Lefties hit him at 3.39, righties 2.97. And in the grand scheme of things, it's a righty-dominant lineup for the Orioles. You have Chris Davis, you have Seth Smith, maybe another bat. Because for the most part, you got like Machado, Scope. You got Anderson at shortstop, Castillo behind the dish, or Joseph. You got DeTrumbaum. You really got a lot of right-handed bats. Mancini. So it's something to think about when you're, because you're going to have to get creative tonight. So Ramirez does have upside when you look at this matchup. The other guy, Bundy, at 7,400. Anaheim doesn't strike out a lot. They strike out right around 20% of the time. Bundy strikes out about 18.6%. He has been pretty good of late. Ground ball rate sucks. Hard contact rate, even though it's bad, has gone down. He has a swinging strike rate, though, that's gone up to 10.2%, which makes him kind of, you're looking for Ks on a night like tonight, makes it a little more intriguing. Angels do have a 4.63 total, lefties 3.36, righties 3.11. So the Angels have, at the moment, the fourth highest total. I have a feeling the Nationals will be higher. So give me the fifth highest total on the slate. It's intriguing. Ramirez or Bundy, I think one of them does make a intriguing GPP play. Neither one is safe by any means, but intriguing. In the middle, I rate it Bundy, then Ramirez just for the upside, because those Orioles bats are white hot right now. As we go down below, plug your nose, because it's going to get rough down here. We're going to kick it off with Brent Suter of the Milwaukee Brewers, the young lefty who's pitched really well this year. Only got 10 points his last start because he started getting a hit around late. Did have 7 Ks. He has 5 or more in 3 straight starts. 10, 26.8, 18.5 have been his points. St. Louis, Chicago, at Philly. Got beat up at Pittsburgh and then threw great at the Yankees against Baltimore. So he's been really, really good, especially of late this season. Good young arm, good strikeout stuff. Going up against Minnesota in a nice pitching ballpark. Twins strike out 21% of the time versus lefties. Suter striking out 21.3%. 45.3% ground ball. Very low hard contact. Lots to like here. We know the Twins have some bats that can hit lefties, but as a whole, the team has a 301 wOBA and 133 ISO, both barely average against left-handed pitching. 465 totals, currently third highest, likely to be fourth after the Nationals. But lefties hitting 331, righties 295 off Suter. You have to expect them to give up a couple runs, but the strikeout potential is definitely there. That's something I like, especially with a lower-priced arm. At 6,400, he is definitely on the list. Now it gets even crazier when I'm looking at Matt Moore at home against the Chicago Cubs. He faced the Cubs earlier this year, 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned, 3 Ks for 9.5, so almost 10 points. Remember, he's $5,000. We're looking for something. He got beat up against Oakland, but prior to that, 16.1, 15.3, 17.6, a negative, then a 14.8. He's always hit and miss, but he's been getting around 15 points quite a bit lately. The Cubs are good at baseball. Their offense is heated up. There's no hiding any of this. They strike out over 21% of time versus lefties. Everything's about average to bad for more. The Cubs team total, though, currently is fifth lowest on the slate at 4.41. Lefties hit 3.61, righties 3.17. It is an extremely, extremely risky play. By no means am I saying just run out and play Matt Moore. It's extremely risky, but he is an option that'll be extremely low owned with some upside. The punt play of the night, because DraftKings did not expect him to start, Robert Stevenson was supposed to start, is Tim Adelman at $4,600. Adelman making the spot start, gave up 6 runs his last time out, 5 prior, 3, 5. Not looking good. Starting out at 3, 17.3 points, he had 7 Ks. It's a lot of all or nothing. It's a lot of disgustingness. It's a lot of, ew, what are we doing? But when you look at a guy like Adelman, you get a guy that definitely has some splits going on. Lefties do hit him well. He's only striking out 15.4% of lefties, where he's striking out 25.5% of right-handed bats. Definitely gets more home runs to lefties than righties. At home, though, he has a 24% K rate compared to 16% on the road. Walks fewer at home. It's all kind of pick your poison. Even against lefties at home, he's better than he is on the season. Not great, but better. When you look at the batting averages and all that good stuff, lefties are hitting 251 or righties are hitting 268, but the wOBA and the slugging for lefties is outstanding. The Marlins, as a team, you know, 315, 19, or no, wrong one. I'm talking about the Padres. Padres, that's off of Stevenson. The Padres do strike out a good 25.3% of the time versus right-handed pitching. So at $4,600, that gives tremendous upside to a guy like Adelman. Now, sure, it's nasty. Second worst on the barrel. Fifth the last 10 days, getting barreled almost 8.5% of the time. Walking about 10%, striking out about 18%. He's struggled, and it's a great hitting ballpark. You have to watch out for the bats. Like, you know, the Padres' bats don't light the world on fire. They have a few lefties to worry about. You know, Solarte should be in the lineup. You got a Suhei playing second. I know there's at least one or two more I mentioned. Maybe Hector Sanchez catches. They're not like world beaters, but they're not horrible. You know, even a guy like Will Myers in a ballpark like that can be scary. It's not a safe play by any means, but for $4,600, the upside is outstanding, especially if he just only gives up three or four runs but strikes out six plus. He gets you at least some sort of value at $4,600 and is definitely in play. You can max him up. You can match him up with a guy like Mad Max and still get all kinds of bats that if he does go off, you are sitting pretty. So down below, I got Adelman, Suter, and Moore. So overall, up top, we're looking at Scherzer, Santana, Arrieta in the middle, Bundy, Ramirez. Down below, we are looking at Adelman, Suter, and Moore. Let's check out the bats that should have a fun day of action. Wilson Contreras continues to just crush the baseball at the catching position. He's $4,900 against Matt Moore, and he is definitely in play. 28 more points as he double-donged on Sunday. Five homers in his last 10. He's got 21 on the year, averaging 12.9 his last 10. Here's his last four games alone, 28, 21, 3, 39. He's crushing the baseball. Going up against Matt Moore, definitely in play if you're paying up at the catcher's position. If you're not paying up, you go down. You go down, you go down, you go down. A guy like Austin Hedges against Adelman can be intriguing at 34. But I don't know if I want to pay 34 for Hedges. You can. The upside's there in that ballpark against a guy like Adelman. There's no doubt about it. But if you want to go down a little farther, you got the likes of, say, a Manny Pena versus Ervin Santana at 27, a Francisco Cervelli against Zimmerman at 27, reverse splits. Cervelli has struggled, but a little better of late. So he is, you know, worth a look there. With a lefty on the mound of Minnesota, you look at Chris Jimenez of the Minnesota Twins. That's about sixth-ish in the lineup usually. Does hit lefties pretty decently. Could be a very nice $2,500 play against Suter and allow you to get even more bats in your lineup. And then Matt Wieters does hit lefties well. He's $2,400 versus O'Grady. That's another nice punt option. You know, Maldonado at 23 versus Bundy could be in play. Prefer him versus lefties and righties. But, you know, down below, Wieters and Jimenez, not bad. Hedges in the middle. And then Contreras up top. Maybe my main focus is at the catcher's position. When you head over to first base, Anthony Rizzo at 54 versus Moore is definitely worth a look. He does hit lefties fine. Joey Votto, a lefty like that against Chacin at 53 in that ballpark is great. He had a big game on Sunday. Could be in line for an outstanding matchup against Chacin. So Votto is definitely in play. I love Ryan Zimmerman. He crushes left-handed pitching. O'Grady, like I mentioned, he's fifth worst on the barrel fifth the last 30 days, getting barreled over 8% of the time. He's walking 12.5, striking out 21.5. Zimmerman is one of the best hitters in baseball, especially at first base, against left-handed pitching this season. At $4,500, averaging 9.4 his last 10, he could easily run into one and take it downtown. Remember, the hitting environment should be tremendous in Washington if the rain clears with that humidity and heat. Zimmerman at 45 is definitely in play. Now, you know it's a bad night when Luke Voit is your fourth highest-ranked first baseman. You go down to the likes of, say, a Josh Bell at 39 versus Zimmerman is not a bad play. Chris Davis versus Ramirez at 37 is okay. Matt Carpenter versus a guy like Ian Kennedy, who likes to give up home runs. Carpenter's been really inconsistent. 16 points on Sunday, but averaging 5.5 on his last 10 games. He's 3,600 against a fly ball guy like Kennedy, so he could be worth a look. I'd probably look elsewhere, but he's, you know, relevant when it comes to GPPs. I'm looking at guys like, if you want to save money at first, Will Myers at 3,600 versus Adelman. You know, Myers hasn't lit the world on fire, averaging 5.7 in his last 10, but it is a good matchup versus Adelman and a good hitting ballpark, so there is some upside in that. A guy like Eric Hosmer, he went deep in the doubleheader yesterday. He's hitting the ball really, really well this year. He's 3,500 against Carlos Martinez. The Royals are in play. Don't just completely ignore them. We know they can go all or nothing. But when you're looking at Carlos Martinez, definite reverse splits guy, our home road splits, great at home, has struggled on the road this season. Lefties hit 334, righties 242 off Carmart. So a guy like Hosmer at 3,500, who we know can get you a couple of hits, can go deep, whatever, does have value against a guy like Carlos Martinez and GPP value to top it off, because a lot won't go at that target. So Hosmer at 35. Got a guy like Jesus Aguilar against Irvin Santana. I'm not purposely going to target Irvin. I probably won't use any Jesus, but he's 34 with some upside. Same with Miguel Cabrera. Continues to be cheap because he continues to be inconsistent, but he's 34 versus a guy like Trevor Williams. I'd probably just pay for Hosmer at 35 or Myers at 36 for my low end, but those guys are there if you need more options. And if you want to super punt, first base, third base eligible, got a guy like Dylan Bundy, who has, you know, been better of late, but does have the hard hit ability. You got a guy like Luis Valbuena, who as a whole is not good, but for DFS GPP wise is decent because he can run into one at any time. He's $2,300. I don't think you're going to need to do that, especially if you go cheap at catcher in one of your pitchers. But if you want to, the option is there. Daniel Murphy at 5K at second base, not bad. Dozier, if he's in the lineup, 4,800 versus Suter. He crushes left-handed pitching. Very good spot for him at 4,800. You got Paul DeJongs up to 46, second base shortstop versus Ian Kennedy. Definitely in play. Javi Baez. This is sneaky because overall, you know, his numbers aren't flashy, but he has averaged 9.4 in his last 10 games. And he's second base shortstop eligible. He's up to 4,400, which is high for Javi. Very high for Javi. His last two games have been that high, but prior to that, he's always in the threes. And he crushes lefties, crushes them. Going against Matt Moore, $4,400 could be a sneaky play because he's usually low owned. A guy like Howie Kendrick, he's second base outfield eligible. He's $4,300. If he's in the Nats lineup, he hits lefties extremely well. Should be low owned also. So him and Baez could be some nice GPP sneakiness. I can't sleep on Jonathan Scope. His power has just been unreal. He's solid at $4,100. Scooter Gennett hasn't been lighting the world on fire, but he's a nice left-handed bat early in the order. Second base outfield eligible at 4K versus Chacin, who has struggled on the road this season. And overall, just lefties love facing him. A guy like Yonhervis Solarte against Adelman at 37 for the Padres. Solarte has four homers in his last 10 games, averaging 8.3 points per game in those 10. Swinging a good bat, had the day off on Sunday, should be back in the lineup, hitting towards the top middle of the order at 37. If you're fading Adelman, he is definitely in play. Or Carlos Asuaje, second baseman, also 35 for the Padres. I try to pay for Solarte, but I liked Asuaje when he was cheap. He's not cheap anymore. He's still not bad, but he's just not cheap. A guy like Wilmer Defoe, second base shortstop. He's a switch hitter. He's 3,200. Versus O'Grady, averaging 8.7 in his last 10 with two homers in those 10. Been playing really well, so he's got that everyday role. 3,200 for Defoe could be a nice lower-priced option. But overall, on this slate, there's not a lot of guys below 3K at most positions that just scream. Like if Caleb Cowart, he's day-to-day, if he gets the lineup, second base, third base for the Angels, he's 2,300 versus Bundy. That's something I could look into, definitely look into. Going over to third base, Chris Bryant against Matt Moore at 53. That's a no-brainer. Miggy Sano against the lefty. We like that a lot at 4,900. If you're not going up there, Machado at 45 and Anthony Rendon at 45. Those two stand out like really, really upper-tier plays. Really good options there. Mike Moustakas, remember, lefties versus Carmart, especially on the road, 4,100. Not bad at all. He's slumping of late. Overall, great season. Maybe he runs into one against Carmart. As you go down, Travis Shaw's day-to-day at 3,800. Keep an eye on that. I know I said lefties hit Chacin very, very well. We've established that. Reds do have a 4.90 total. Lefties 3.38. Righties 2.88. So you might not want to use righties, but they do come at a discount. Like Eugenio Suarez with his power upside is only 3,700 versus Chacin. Now, if it was in Petco, I'd say, okay, the splits I'll pay a little more attention to. But when you're in Great American Small Park where the ball could fly, usually does fly, I like me some Eugenio. He can run into anybody, plus you get bullpen in play. $3,700 does have some serious upside in the middle of a lineup that should have a nice day, all unless, you know, Chacin shows up. Baseball happens. A guy like Nick Castellanos at 34 versus Trevor Williams is enticing. Trevor Williams does get hit hard. Has some good starts from time to time that make everybody mad. They'll have the third lowest total on the slate at 418. Lefty's 343, righty's 317 off Trevor Williams. As you go down some more, if you want to fade Mad Max, Dietrich's 31, but may God have mercy on your soul. For the Cardinals, 4-5-3 total, lefties 312, righties 308 for Kennedy. Jed Jericho's been in a horrific slump. Only averaged 3.4 points his last 10 games, but he's 2,900 with power, so something to consider. Then you got Cowart to 23 and Valbuena at 23, we mentioned as potential punts. If you want to go that rate. And then like a guy like Ryder Jones, who really hasn't done much. He was a big-time prospect. He's a left-handed bat that plays third. They'll probably have Pablo there, so keep an eye on that. But he's 2K if he cracks the order. Shortstop, Paul DeJong, 46. Tim Beckham, who has just crushed the baseball, he's 4,600. It's just amazing watching what he's done since he's come over to Baltimore. I still won't pay that price tag, though. I will not do it. Javi Baez at 44 is that sneaky play we talked about. Orlando Arcia has been swinging a very, very good bat. You got the reverse splits for Santana. Averaging 7.5 his last 10 at Fort. Another home run yesterday. Just sucks he's at the bottom of the order, but there's a DH, so at least he won't be the pitcher behind him. 3,600 for Arcia could be enticing as a mid-range play. One of my favorite plays on the shortstop position down below is Zach Cozart at 3,400. I know it's another right-handed bat versus Chacin. He's averaged 10.1 in his last 10. He's hit three homers his last 10. He can get on base and let Votto and Duvall and company do damage. Cozart's a sneaky good play at $3,400, I feel. You got guys like Defoe at 32, who we mentioned. Jordy Mercer does hit righties very, very well. He's 3K versus Zimmerman, who has the reverse splits. Crawford for the Giants at 27. Usually he's hitting fifth a lot lately against Arrieta. Could be enticing as a lower price kind of punt option against Jake. As you head to the outfield, you got Trout at 57. That's always in play. Bryce Harper, 56 for O'Grady. That's definitely worth the look. Justin Upton at 54 continues to be red hot. Went deep again on Sunday's average, or no, on Saturday. He's averaging 14 points a game his last 10 with 5 home runs and 17 RBIs. Tommy Pham, people continue to not talk about him or use him. He's 4,800 versus a guy like Ian Kennedy. That could be enticing. Kutch at 47, Duvall at 47. These are all great plays, of course. I love the Reds today against Chacin just because people are going to focus on Adelman, and that's fair. And Chacin's just home road splits are very dramatic to me. And it's, the ballpark makes a big deal to me. So I hope the Reds don't let me down in this one, which happens from time to time. Like Billy Hamilton, a left-handed bat leading off against Chacin at 4,400, could get on a steal. That's not bad at all. The Milkman, Melky Cabrera, left-handed against Carmart at 43. Melky's been continues to have a great year, even going over to Kansas City, swinging it well. Starling Marte at 42 has upside. I don't mind using Giancarlo at 42 versus Scherzer. I don't want to stack against Scherzer, but we know he has the propensity to give up a home run or two. So Stanton at 42 is definitely worth a look. You mentioned Scooter Gennett at 4K. Spangenberg's 39, third base outfield eligible versus Adelman if you want to go with another lefty bat there. Adam Jones, he was on fire. He slumped. He's heating up again. 10 more points yesterday over the last few games. 10, 21, 0, and then 14. Maybe he's coming back. He's 3,800 leading off versus Ramirez. I don't mind that at all. Trey Mancini powered upside at 38 versus Ramirez. Sorry. A guy like Manny Margot. He's a right-handed bat versus Adelman. Averaging 11.7 his last 10 games. 4 homers in his last 10. He got 11 points on Sunday. He's usually leading off or hitting towards the top against the opposition in that ballpark at 3,800. Margot, very nice. You got Renfro at 37 with power upside. Brandon Moss, he hits really well at home. He's 3,700 versus Carmart. It's all or nothing with him. I don't know if I'd pay that much for him, but, you know, he did double dong. He can go deep at any moment, so the upside's there. Ozuna at 36 versus Scherzer's a decent, you know, GPP-style play. Same with Christian Yelich at 35. I'm not, again, not going all in against Scherzer, but, you know, if he's probably, he can be perfect, but yep, there's a chance he screws up from time to time, and if you can pounce on it, pounce. As you go down, it gets a lot bleaker. Like, that's not who I was looking for. Jesse Winker, a left-handed bat versus Chacin, usually gets about second in the order. He's 3,300 with some power upside. As you go down some more, you look at guys like Gregory Polanco at 31 versus Zimmerman. Cole Calhoun, 31 versus Bundy is a nice play down below. Denard Spans, 29 versus Arrieta. Jarrett Parker with some powers, 29. Alex Gordon's 28 versus Carmart. These are all super risky plays, but do have upside. A guy like Jim Adducci batting second versus the Pirates for Detroit, left-handed bat versus Williams at 28. Has a little bit of upside there. And then like Albert Almora Jr., if he cracks the lineup, he hits very, very well versus lefties. He's an extreme splits guy. Loves his lefties. He's 2,800 against Matt Moore. That's some value in a Cubs lineup that has the potential to go big. That is on the season, let you down a lot. And then check lineups after that. Most is pretty bleak down below. So you have a couple options down below. But overall, you're paying up at most positions. That's why you're going to need to take some super gambles in your lineup. Super, super gambles. But there you have it. Short and sweet, quick, 30 minutes or so. It's only 7 games. It's all we can do. Let's take a look real quick at your BVPs. You know, a small sample, but David Freese against Zimmerman, 4-for-8 with a double and a homer. McCutcheon's taking him deep twice. Howie Kendrick, 2-for-2 with a homer off O'Grady. Again, small samples, small samples. Christian Yelich, 7-for-21 with a double, triple, and 2 homers versus Mad Max. So he's seen him well. You got Osuna's taking him deep twice. Dietrich once, Stanton once, Gordon once. But Yelich has the best overall history there. Joey Votto has a double and a homer off Chacin. Eric Thames, 5-for-16 with a double and 2 homers off Irvin Santana. That's something to think about. He was like 3,800. Not too much. Oh, you got Anthony Rizzo, 3-for-3 with 2 homers off of Matt Moore. So there you have that there. Quick look at your potential stacks. This should be pretty easy. The Nationals against O'Grady is outstanding, especially the righties in that lineup. Gotta love them. I love the Reds versus Chacin. I keep mentioning it. They have a 4.90 total. Highest on the slate at the moment. It depends on what the Nationals comes out at. Really good matchup there. Pirates versus Zimmerman's intriguing. Lefties 3.45, righties 3.59. Just ballpark factors. So I think that worries me a bit. Twins versus Suter. Suter had reverse splits. Lefties hit him at 331. Righties 295. But Dozier is a great play. Sano's not bad either. So I like those two up top there. Don't forget Jimenez as a value catcher. Padres versus Adelman. Like that quite a bit if you're not using Adelman. Adelman's going to not be perfect. If he is, wow, you're going to shoot to the moon. He's going to give up runs. We just need him to get the strikeouts. That's all you're playing for there. And then like the Royals against Carmart can be sneaky, especially the lefties. And go from there. You know, Orioles, Angels could be good. Those are real toss-ups right there. So there you have it. Your 7-game slate on a Monday. Get your feet wet with some ugly DFS action before we get into the week with the big 15-gamers all over again. But check us out, thesportsdegens.com, at thesportsdegens, recording the always-pressing pod with myself, DFS Golf Gods, and Big Bucks No Whammy. For the PGA Championship that is this weekend at Quail Hollow. So that's recording tonight. We'll be out later tonight, tomorrow morning. You'll have Jesse's preview tomorrow, as always. There's tons of good stuff. UFC's on a break. Hope you guys enjoyed that over the weekend. That was good stuff from Doc. You'll have another edition of the Saturday Edge and the Sports Degens College Football Preview, doing more divisional previews, conference previews. Check out the latest one with Doc and company, previewing the ACC and the Big Ten. Good stuff there. Just tons of stuff going on. NASCAR was big over the weekend with Josh. Josh did a great job at Watkins Glen. Check out the 5 team total overs to take in college football by DD Jayhoff. Good stuff there as well. EPL starting this weekend. We got Squanto on board. He'll update his plays. He's going to have a DFS piece out, so be ready for that as well. But more importantly, check out me on Twitter at BDIntric to help you with any of the plays you need. And good luck on your 7-game slate. Take it easy. Don't go crazy because we'll have a lot to enjoy the rest of the week. But this has been MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Monday, August 7th edition. I'm out.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.